Hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. And that's over, and we go right into the Christmas season. But it's a good time of year. It's a nice time of year. Today, we're going to look at, or our text for today is Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 7. If you want to find that in your own Bible, Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 3. We'll have it up on the screen in the NLT, New Living Translation. There's a Bible in the pew rack in front of you, book rack, and you could, I think that's also a New Living Translation if you want to follow that way. Or if you have an app on your phone or iPad or whatever you have. Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 3. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to, but instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave or a servant, and he was born as a human being. The title of our Advent messages during this season of Advent is going to be humble, or rather humbug to humble. And today's message on this first Sunday of Advent in 2015 is going to be Bah Humbug. Of course, it's a statement that was made famous by Charles Dickens in his story The Christmas Carol, by his character Ebenezer Scrooge. And that saying, Bah Humbug, is like saying, oh, nonsense. In other words, it means baloney. It's usually a statement that you believe something is false or something is deceptive. And in the story, of course, Ebenezer was saying that about Christmas. Like Christmas was a lot of nonsense, and that it was false, and it wasn't something that he believed in anyway. And what we're going to look at during this time of Advent is how someone goes from being a proud humbug, unbeliever, to a humble believer. Now, this morning when you came in, we gave you a copy of A Christmas Carol. Hopefully you got one of these when you came in. And what's different about this edition is that an author by the name of Stephen Skelton has put some notes in the margins of this book. And those notes show how much Charles Dickens was influenced by Jesus and the teachings of Jesus. Just a few weeks ago, I actually spoke to this author, Stephen Skelton, on the phone, and he gave me a few examples. Of course, the first example right off the bat is this story, is the name of the book, A Christmas Carol. Now, when we think of A Christmas Carol, you might think of some songs like Jingle Bells or Deck the Halls. Wednesday night, I was at a community Thanksgiving service. And it was held at the temple in town, in the village. And one of the pastors made a statement that most of the Christmas carols are written by Jews. And of course, he was thinking of songs like, you know, the Christmas song, Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire, and he was thinking of White Christmas, and he was thinking of some other songs that are really written by Jews. But when we talk about A Christmas Carol, or the way that Charles Dickens used the term Christmas carol. He was thinking about it in the original sense of a song that celebrates the birth of Christ. Another example that Steve Skelton gave me was that we know that a nativity is also known as a creche. But in the time of Charles Dickens in England, back in that time, it was known as a cratch, from which he got the name Cratchit, as in Bob Cratchit and Tiny Tim Cratchit. And so what Skelton said to me, that when Scrooge was coming to the home of the family, the Cratchit family, he was coming to the nativity. And one of the things that we're hoping, you see, it's not a very long story, the Christmas carol, it's kind of a thin book, but maybe you'll take the time during Advent and read this story and hopefully be blessed by some of the symbolism that you'll see that's explained to you in the margins of this book. Because we believe that as you look at those, that symbolism, you'll never read or watch this story of the Christmas carol the same again. We also know that Jesus always taught, or many times taught, by using parables. And that's how we want to use this story of a Christmas carol this year, as a parable. Now, what is a parable? A parable is using stories of examples from real life to show the relevancy of spiritual truth. That the spiritual truth is still relevant today by using stories from today. So that's how we want to use Charles Dickens' Christmas carol, as a parable during these Advent sermons. So let's begin today, and let's begin by watching a clip from a movie from 1951 called Scrooge, an adaptation of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. The star of this movie was Alistair Sim, who played Ebenezer Scrooge. So let's just watch a clip. It's going to be only about maybe 3 minutes or so, and then we'll go back from that.
The pleasure of addressing Mr. Scrooge or Mr. Marley?
Mr. Marley has been dead these 7 years.
In fact, he
died 7 years ago this very day.
Well, we have no doubt that his generosity is well represented by his surviving partner. At this festive season of the year, Mr. Scrooge, it is more than usually desirable that we should make some slight provision for the poor and destitute.
Are there no prisons?
Plenty of prisons.
And the union workhouses, are they still in operation?
They are. I wish I could say they were not.
And the treadmill and the poor law, they're still in full vigor, I presume?
Both very busy, sir.
Oh, from what you said at first, I was afraid that something had happened to stop them in their useful course. I'm very glad to hear it.
I don't think you quite understand us, sir. A few of us are endeavoring to raise a fund to buy the poor some meat and drink and means of warmth.
Why?
Because it is at Christmas time that want is most keenly felt, and abundance rejoices. What can I put you down for?
Nothing.
You wish to be anonymous?
I wish to be left alone. Since you ask me what I wish, sir, that is my answer. I help to support the establishments I have mentioned. Those who are badly off must go there.
Many can't go there.
And some would rather die.
If they would rather die, they'd better do it and decrease the surplus population. Besides, it's not my business.
Isn't it,
No. It is enough for a man to understand his own business without interfering with other people's. Mine occupies me constantly. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Who's that?
Your nephew, Uncle.
It's you, is it? Well, what do you want?
Neither to borrow money or beg a mortgage, Uncle. Only to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Keep Christmas in your own way and leave me to keep it in mine.
But you don't keep it.
Then let me leave it alone, then. Much good may it do you to keep it. Much good it has ever done you.
It certainly done me no harm.
No, your wayward nature has done that.
And your marriage?
My marriage was the making of me.
The ruin of you, you mean?
Why don't you come and see for yourself if you won't take my word for it? Come and dine with us tomorrow.
No, thank you.
But why? Why?
Why did you marry against my wishes?
Because I fell in love.
You fell in love with a woman as penniless as yourself. Oh, good evening.
We've never had any quarrel that I've ever been party to. I asked nothing of you. I came here in the spirit of right goodwill, and I won't let you dampen it. So a Merry Christmas to you anyway.
Good evening.
And a Happy New Year.
Good evening. Humbert!
I don't know if you know that Bob Cratchit and Scrooge and his nephew Fred all went in together on a lottery ticket. Did you hear about this? You only get this information here, folks. And they won. And Bob Cratchit said, well, this is certainly a blessing from God. And I think that we should give some money back to the Lord. And he said, what do you think we should do? And Fred thought about that for a moment. And Fred said, well, I tell you, this is what I think we should do. I think we should draw a circle and take all of our winnings and throw them up in the air. And whatever falls, whatever money falls inside the circle, we'll give back to the Lord. Whatever money falls outside the circle, we'll keep. And Bob said, well, I like your idea. He said, but I think we should do it the other way around. I think we should throw the money up in the air, and whatever falls outside the circle, we should give to the Lord. And whatever falls inside the circle, we should keep. And with that, they looked over at Ebenezer Scrooge to see what his opinion was. And Ebenezer said, I really believe we should throw the money up in the air, let God grab whatever he wants, and we'll keep the rest. The name Scrooge means squeeze. And Dickens was using it to point out the primary sin in Scrooge's life, which was selfishness and greed. For a sure sign of selfishness is greed. But let's not be so quick to judge poor old Ebenezer Scrooge, because all of us are selfish to some degree. Selfishness is deceptive. You know, it's easy to detect it in other people, but it's we're kind of blinded to our own selfishness. But how many of us truly love with a pure heart all the time? Stephen Kendrick in The Love Dare wrote this: almost every sinful action ever committed can be traced back to a selfish motive. It is a trait we hate in other people, but justify in ourselves. If sin can be traced back to selfishness, and all have sinned, then we could say that we're all, to some degree, selfish. You might have heard of the person who prayed one day, Lord, I'm doing so far today, Lord, I'm doing great. I haven't been selfish, I haven't been greedy, I haven't been nasty to anyone in any way. But Lord, in about 10 minutes I have to get out of this bed and I'm going to need your help. Amen. It seems like the philosophy of the world today, especially in our country, is that selfishness is a good thing. That we should be selfish, that you ought to be selfish, that you ought to think of number one first. I even found a website that came right out and said that selfishness was a good thing. And it gave reasons why selfishness is a good thing. I thought about some commercials from the past and current that say things like, you know, have it your way. You deserve a break today. or there's a hair coloring company, and the woman who gets her hair colored says, because I'm worth it. And we do have a tendency to look out for number one. And selfishness leads us to do whatever it takes to get what we want and to do what we want, to watch out for number one. We're taught to think that our destiny is in our own hands. I mean, how else am I going to get what I want? No one else is going to look after me. I have to look after myself. Selfishness is really an attempt to control our own destiny rather than allowing God to lead us. Yet, it's only Christ who can really help us to gain the satisfaction and the security that we seek. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, Paul gave this warning. You should know this, that in the last days, there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends. They will be reckless, puffed up with pride, and they will love pleasure rather than reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. Sounds like the last days. We are all hurt by selfishness. Selfishness of others hurts us, and our own selfishness hurts ourselves. We hurt ourselves. Scrooge was blinded to his selfishness, and it hurt others. And he was blinded to how it was hurting others. He hurt people like Bob Cratchit, and he hurt his nephew, Fred. And Scrooge himself was miserable. And he didn't want anyone else to be happy. He wanted them to be miserable as well. Bob Cratchit had a generous spirit, but he suffered from Scrooge's stinginess. And Fred, he was a kind and a loving and a caring and a forgiving man, but he was mocked by his uncle. And he suffered by Scrooge's coldness. Demanding that our needs be satisfied, and then finding more and more needs that we want satisfied, we consider this freedom in our country. And when we think that we should automatically be entitled to whatever we want, then we'll walk on others to get it. Selfishness destroys relationships as you serve self first. In contrast, humility builds relationships. Because with humility, we seek to meet the other person's needs first before our own, and it builds relationships. When you act in humility, you are acting like Christ. When you act with selfishness, you are acting like Satan. Here's what James wrote. James chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Our selfishness can hurt others. Can you think of ways that your selfishness in the past has hurt others? I can, and I regret that. Yeah. And how about yourself? How is your selfishness hurting you? By cutting ourselves off from kindness to others. Or let's talk about Scrooge. By him cutting his kindness off to others, he suffered from his own selfishness the most. And he never really noticed just how selfish and greedy he was. He was making himself miserable. He was a miserable person. Maybe it's a little obvious in Scrooge and not so obvious in ourselves. But Scrooge was miserable. He was unloving, he was unloved, and he was unhappy. When his nephew, Fred, wishes his uncle Ebenezer a Merry Christmas, Scrooge responds with, "Bah, humbug, that's nonsense, that's silliness. I don't believe in that stuff. I don't keep Christmas." And then he says this to his nephew. Scrooge says, "What right do you have to be merry? You're poor enough." To which his nephew wisely responds, "And what right do you have to be dismal? For you're rich enough." You don't think I should be merry because I'm not as rich as you. You're rich and you're miserable. In his selfishness, Scrooge trapped himself. Selfishly focusing on yourself creates a self-imposed prison from which you can't please yourself enough to free yourself from that prison. That's a quote from Stephen Skelton. Our selfishness not only hurts others, it hurts us. And we should be aware of what we give up when we act selfishly and with greed. In our selfish efforts to gain what we want for ourselves, material things and other things that we want for ourselves, we don't think twice about what we're trading in for our souls, for our eternal souls. Instead, we should be willing to give our very lives for the sake of Christ. In Mark chapter 8, verse 36, Jesus said this, "And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul?" And again in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, he said, "Beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own." Selfish people actually cheat themselves out of the greatest possession they could have, eternal life with God. Again, in Luke chapter 12, Jesus gives this warning. "But God said to him, 'You fool, you will die this very night. Then you will get everything. Then who will get everything that you work for?' Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God." Paul wrote this in Romans chapter 2. "He will give eternal life to those who keep on doing good, seeking after the glory and honor and immortality that God offers. But he will pour out his anger and wrath on those who live for themselves." So, how do we go from humbug to humble? First, it comes by putting faith in Jesus Christ. Only Christ can purify our souls from one of a selfish motive to a humble, loving motive. Only Jesus, by His grace, by what He's done for us, and by our faith in Him, can change the heart of man. In our text today, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Instead, be humble," which is this, thinking of others as better than yourself. The opposite of selfishness is to be humble. It's humility, which is thinking of others before yourself. It's the same attitude that Jesus had. It's the attitude of a servant. And it's the same attitude as Christ Jesus. That though he was God, he didn't cling to that. He was willing to give up his divine privileges to be born as a human being. And that's what we celebrate during Christmas, during Advent. That's what we're being reminded of, that we have a God who loved us so much that he was willing to leave heaven and become a human being. And come not as a king, not this time, not the first time, second time he will, but the first time to come as a servant. Someone once said it would be equivalent to a human being becoming a dog. If you could imagine still thinking like a human being, in your mind you know that you're a human being, but you're in the body of a dog and you have to live as a dog. That's what it was like for God to become human. But he did it so he could show us the way to salvation. Do you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? He wants to change your heart. And the ultimate act of selfishness is to hear what Jesus has done for you and then to say to him, I don't need you. That's nonsense. So how do you go from humbug to humble? Well, first, we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And through him, you'll gain the satisfaction and the security that you're seeking. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21, and then in verse 33. He said, don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moth and rust cannot destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. Selfishness must have no part in someone who is a follower of Jesus Christ. So it's something we need to work on. We need to put away our selfishness and be humble instead. Choose to take on the attitude of a servant. Choose to take on humility, to put others before yourself. Have the same attitude. We are commanded to have the same attitude that was in Christ Jesus. Find forgiveness in Christ and allow Jesus to lead you in developing a servant's heart with the goal of helping others, that we might go from humbug to humble. Let's pray together. If I could ask you to just take a moment for silent prayer, if you would just get together with the Lord and say, Lord, reveal to me where I might be selfish or greedy, or caring about myself and not caring, or caring about putting myself before others instead of putting others before myself. Lord, I'm blinded to that in my life. Show me. Show me where I'm hurting others by my selfishness. Show me, Lord, where maybe I'm hurting even myself. Show me, Lord. Be open to what God might say to you. Just listen for his voice. I'll close in prayer in a moment. As I close in prayer this morning, just want to remind you that in your bulletin there's an insert, and it has a little exercise that you could do this week, focusing and meditating on some of the scriptures that you heard today and asking some questions that you can ask yourself and help you to deal with things in your own life. Almighty God, we come before you, and I ask you, Lord, to forgive me Forgive us for our selfishness, Lord. We want to be more like Jesus. I want to put others before myself. I really do, Lord. I know that I fail at that, but Lord, I really want to be different. I want to be more humble. I want to be able to put others first and be what all that you want me to be, Lord. We pray for your Holy Spirit to come, Lord, and to give us a power and change us, Lord. Give us a new heart. Help us to see how we're hurting others and even ourselves by our selfishness, Lord. Help us, Lord, to take on the Spirit of Christ and to be like you, Lord. Speak to us in our quiet time. Show us, Lord, things that we might be blinded to. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be this Advent season, to seek to be what you want us to be. I thank you, Lord, for these wonderful people. I thank you for the opportunity we've had to be together here today. I pray that you would bless our continued fellowship downstairs as we have some refreshments together and catch up with each other and see how everyone's doing. May we remember to continue to pray for one another and be concerned about one another. And I pray, Lord, that during this Advent season, we would think about others. We would see others around us who are in need, and we would minister to them. We would allow you to minister through us to them. We were grateful, Lord, that you could use us in that way. So I pray your blessing upon each and every person that is here, each family that's represented. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us a good week. We love you, Lord. And Jesus, we pray these things in your name. Amen.